Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Kedushin Mem Gimel. We got up to the 8th line off the top of the Amid, Hanicha Lema Domer. Okay, just a brief recap. We had the Sugi of Shlichus. A person could appoint a messenger, somebody to do something for him, to represent him with respect to certain activities. However, it only works with positive things, but in Avera, you can't make a shliach for that. Ein shliach l'dvar Avera. Why? It's based on simple logic. Divrei HaRav, v'divrei HaTalmud, when there's a Rav, in this case it's a mashal to Hashem, a Rav says, do one thing, and the Talmud, the student, in this case the person, instructs you. Otherwise, who do you listen to? Of course, the Rav, of course, the shliach, was never meant to listen to the mishaleach, to the sender. Therefore, you can't blame it on him. You're responsible for your avira. We do have some exceptions to this rule. We found mi'ila, right? Diverting hegdish property that has shalichos, even though it's a dvar avira. We have tvicha and mechira. So a person steals an animal and he shechts it or sells it. He has to pay 4 or 5 times as much, and that works through a shliach as well. We have psukim for these things, and we also have another example called shlichus yad, violating the terms of a shomer, right? A person took deposit of an item, and he misused it, and he's responsible. And even if it's done through a shliach, so we have some exceptions to this rule. But the Gemara says, we won't extend the concept elsewhere. We're not going to transfer to other cases. Why? Because when we have two sources for one thing, it's called Shnei Kesuvim Habayim Ke'echad. The Torah repeats something once and again. The Torah is basically telling us, look, it should apply here and here, and that's it. Just here and just here, and nowhere else. Otherwise, it would just say it once, and then we would just extend it elsewhere. So, being that the Torah repeats the concept of shlichos lidvar avera in very specific instances, it's basically telling us there and nowhere else. But, says the Gemara, that's if you hold of this formula, that shnei kesuvim habayim ke'echad are not malamed, will not be expanded and extended. Hanich lemanda omar. Okay, so on the 8th line off the top of the Yomid. Hanich lemanda omar. Shnei kesuvim habayim ke'echad ein malamed. So that's, if you say two ksuvim cannot be extended. So now we know. Ein shliach l'dvar aver, except for those, exceptional cases. Elo l'mad amar l'amda. But according to this sheet that holds that even we have two ksuvim, they can provide a source for elsewhere. Michael Amemar. So now we're stuck. So let's learn from these halachis that we can have a shliach even for a dvar aver. Answer. We have a pasuk in the parsha of Shechut Echutz where a fellow takes a korban and does the shechita in the wrong place outside the Beis HaMikdash. The pasuk says, "Dam yichashev laish hahu, dam shafach." He's liable. He's responsible for what he did. The word "hahu" tells us only the person himself who violated the isser, he is responsible. But don't blame it on the person that sent you to do it. Who? V'loi shoyl chav. Okay, so we have a miut that we can't blame a mishaleach for a dvar avir. Ash kechon kabi shechut echutz. Okay, so perhaps that's a specific halacha for this case of shechut echutz. B'chala teira min alon. What about elsewhere in the Torah? How do we know that you can't make a shliach for an avir? Well, the yolef mishchut echutz, we'll learn from here. The question is, you basically have exceptions to the rule. You have the cases of Me'ila, Tvicha, and Mechira, and perhaps Shlichos Yad, depending on the Shita, where you can make a Shlich for an Avira. And here you have a Pasuk by Shechut Echutz that you cannot. So now let's take another mitzvah, another Avira, And, the question is, can you make a Shlich for that Avira? What should we compare it to? You have a choice. You can go this way, compare it to Me'ila and those cases where you have a shliach for an aver, or you can choose Shechut Echutz, which teaches you that you can't have a shliach for an avir. So who's to tell you which way to go? Right? You have two tracks before you. Who says which one to choose? Ah, the yolav mishkutei chutz. Who says that you should connect to shkutei chutz? That you cannot make a shliach for an avir? Well, neilav mahanach. Perhaps let's choose the other examples of shliach and dvar avir. Answers the Gemara, we have another miut. Hadar kasav rachmana v'nichras ha'ishahu. Once again, the pasuk uses the word hahu by shkutei chutz. It's not in it for its own sake, because we already have the first hahu to teach us that, you know, only the person who actually did it is responsible. So this extra hahu is unnecessary. So this is what we do throughout Shas. We have the unnecessary pasuk, we apply it to where it's needed. Tzneu inyan l'chol ha'Torah kula. From here, we learn to elsewhere, to the entire Torah, that you can't make a shliach for an avir. Okay. Now, this is all based on the premise that Shnei Ksuvim can be expanded. So we needed a new miut, hahu hahu. But, ulamando amar Shnei Ksuvim haban ke'echad e'malam. On the flip side, let's go to the other track, the other shita. That when we have two psukim that repeat the same thing, such as mi'ila, such as tvicha and mechira, those are exceptions to the rule. You can make a shliach for an avera. And when we have Shnei Ksuvim, it's limited to those examples. Ein malam, you can't take it elsewhere. So by default, we already know, explains Rashi, that you can never make a shliach for Navera, unless it's these cases. It's a simple svara, because like we said before, you're faced with a choice. Shall I listen to the underling or to the teacher? Of course to the teacher. So of course, you can't blame the mishaleach when you do an Navera. So then the question is, why do we need these hahu hahu by shechut echutz? What purpose are those words serving? Hani yahu ahu, my dorish bu, what's it for? Answers the Gemara, we found something. Chad l'mu'uti d'chshnaim sha'ichsem b'sakar m'sha'ichtim. But these are halachas and zvachim that shechut echutz can only be done by one person. If two people are holding a big knife and shechting the carbon outside, they're not responsible. Because ahu denotes singularity, only one person. And v'chad, and the other ahu, is coming to teach us who, that the person is only responsible for his actions if he's in total yishuv hadas, hu v'lo yonos, as opposed to being forced to do the avera, hu v'lo shogeg, as opposed to doing it mindlessly, hu v'lo muta, as opposed to being tricked into doing it, perhaps by being told that this carbon is really not a carbon. In any case, hahu means, Rashi says, shehei b'havi yosoi, ubi yishuv data, he's totally mindful, focused, aware, and cognizant. Okay, so we found the purpose for the psukim. V'idach, now the other sheet, who needed these psukim for the ein shliach l'dvar avera? How does he know everything? May who? It could have just said who, which would indicate that only the person doing it is responsible as opposed to mishaleach. Why does it say hahu? Apparently it's coming to teach the extra, let us know the extra halachas that we just learned. V'idach, hu hahu le'darish, whereas the other sheet doesn't really make a big deal about hu hahu, it's all pretty much the same expression. And it's all included. Continues the Gemara. So we're working with the premise. You cannot make a shliach for Navera. We have some exceptions to the rule. Me'ila, etc., etc. V'ha detani. What about the following brisa? Here comes a big kasha. Ha'emer l'shluch. Say ha'regas ha'nefesh. Reuven instructs Shimon to kill Levi. Hu chayev v'sholchav pater. Who's responsible for his actions? Shimon, not Reuven. Why? Right? You can't make a shliach for an avera. Shammai HaZokin disagrees. He says like this. Shammai HaZokin Omer, Mishum Chagai HaNavi, he's quoting Chagai HaNavi, Sholchav Chayev. No. You can make a shliach for an avera. Reuven is responsible for bringing about this result. Shenemar Oysoi HaRakta B'cher Avnei Amoin. Nosan HaNavi was chastising Yehi Musar to Dabar HaMelech. You arranged for Uriah Achiti's death by allowing Yoav to take him out to the battlefield to Bnei Amoin to have him killed, and he ended up taking his wife Bathsheba. Now the Torah is sort of, the Navi is attributing what happened to the death of Uriah to David HaMelech, who didn't actually physically do anything. He instructed and enabled Yoav to send him out. Apparently a Mishaleach is responsible. Asks the Gemara, my time in the Shammai HaZokin. How does Shammai HaZokin reconcile you know, the whole sugi that we had. How could he have the shita that you can make a shliach dvar avera? How does it work? Answers the Gemara, kasavar shnei ksuvim habam keachad melandim. Because according to Shammai, we have examples, we have places where the Torah clearly blames the Meshaleach, right? By Me'ila, by Tvichan Mechira, etc. So according to Shammai Hazokin, even though we have two ksuvim, he holds that two ksuvim can form a source, can provide basis for elsewhere. They keep him alambi to everywhere else that you can make shliach for dvar avir. And the Farshim point out that although Shammai Hazokin seems to have a pasuk, right? He's basing his halach on a pasuk, so why does the Gemara have to go look for another source? So the Rashba says perhaps that pasuk can be learned differently. He needs a more bona fide source, which are those shnei kesuvim abam ke'echad. Who ha'u le'darish? And number two, the who's that we had before that also provide the source for ein shliach dvar avera, he's not going to focus on hu ha hu. He's not going to darsh in that rush. So ultimately, we have a shliach dvar avera according to Shammai. People are saying another approach to Shammai Zokin can be lo'elam darsh. Of course, Shammai subscribes to the drush of ahu. You cannot make a shliach for an avera. Umay chayav. When Shammai says that David HaMelech, a person who sends, makes a shlich for an aver is chayv, he doesn't mean down in this world, in Bezen. Chayv b'din shamayim, in heaven, they hold him accountable for bringing about this terrible result. So, in terms of, practical litigation in this world, a mishaleach is not chayv. But in the next world, he's held accountable for ultimately bringing about and causing and influencing this type of, deviation. So that's the Gemara. So apparently Shammai Hazokin, who holds that it's Chayiv and Dina Shemayim, is in disagreement with the Tanakama of this Braisa, who seems to hold there is no Chayiv and Dina Shemayim. That's startling. Mechlal the Tanakama Sabra Afilu Medina Shemayim Nami Pato. You mean that a Meshaleach is totally absolved, even though he, was the catalyst and he was the force behind what happened? No, of course the Tanakama agrees that there is some accountability on account of the Tanakam, on account of the Mishaleach. The difference is, how much? How far do we go in holding him accountable? To what degree do we attribute the act to the Mishaleach? Eladina Rabba, is it a big judgment? Is he very guilty? Vedina Zuta, a minor din, minor guilt. So that's the Ikubinai, that's the difference. The Tanakam who says, well, he's held accountable to some degree, and according to Shammai, all the way. A third approach to this discussion is, you're right, according to Shammai Hazokin, generally speaking, there is no shliach for an avera, except for ritzicha, murder, because of this pasuk. Shani Hosam, the Goli Rachmona, the pasuk says, Oysu Yerakto, Becherav Bnei Amon, that he is held accountable for killing a riachiti. So we see that when it comes to murder, there's an exception to the rule. Typically, there's no shliach for an avera, except for here. V'idach, what does Tanakama do with this pasuk? Just the opposite. He was telling him, Harei Lecho, Becherav Bnei Amon, that Uriah's death, as tragic as it was, is not really on your record. He is like those other Jews that were killed by the swords of the Bnei Amon out, at war. It's not your, you're not responsible. Ma'cher Bnei Amon, just like those instances, Einatan Enesh Olav, is not for you to be punished. Af Uriah Achiti, Einatan Enesh Olav, likewise, Uriah's death is not on your record. My time of why? Moedu Machos Hava, because he was a fellow who expressed lack of respect to the king, to David HaMelech, and he's considered a rebeller. Because he told David HaMelech, Vadoini Yoav, my master, Yoav. Yoav was merely the general appointed by David, and Uriah calls him Adoini, my master, in the presence of David the king. It's inappropriate. Vadoini Yoav, Chlavdi Adoini, Apnea Sadechon. Amar Rav, Im Tim Telemer Savar. Shammai, shnei ksuvim abam ke'echad melamdin. Now, we had a machlekes, right? In the Braisa, we had a Tanakama, we had Shammai Hazokin. Shammai Hazokin seems to hold that you can make a shliach for an avera, and the Meshaleach is fully accountable. Now, we weren't really sure, to what extent. We had three ways to explain the Braisa. Was it only Dini Shamayim? Was it really all the way? And perhaps only specific by to a case of Ritzich. So Rabbi says like this, Imtim Tzalayma, if we're going to take that first approach, that in fact Shammai disagrees with the whole concept. He holds that Yesh Shaliach L'Dvar Avera. Imtim Tzalayma Savar Shammai, Shnei Ksuvim, Havam Ke'echa, those two examples of Shlichos L'Dvar Avera, like Mi'ila and Tvicha Mechira, Melamdim, can serve as a source and basis for everywhere else. Number one, V'hu Ahu Le'Darish. Number two, the Psukim Hu Ahu Ahu, which also served as an alternative blocker for Shlich HaDvar Avera, he's not going to work with that drush. And basically, in conclusion, according to Shammai HaZaken, you can make a Shlich HaDvar Mitzvah and also L'Dvar Avera. Still, Moide, even Shammai would agree. In some cases, the Meshaleach is not held accountable. For instance, Ba'imel Shluch, Reuven tells Shimon, say Ba'ilas Erev, go be involved with an appropriately with an Isha. V'achol es Achel, eat something non-kosher. So even though Reuven sent him, who's responsible? Who's guilty? Shehu chayav v'sholchav pater. Only Shimon is responsible, but not Reuven. Shalom atzinu b'chalat ha'rakula. It's inconceivable. We never find in the entire Torah a concept where one person has to pay for the other person's experience. Zeh nenev zeh meschayev. Here it's a case where Shimon has personal benefit. You can't hold Reuven accountable for his experience. So even Shammai would agree in this case that the perpetrator himself, and only him, is responsible. Okay, so in conclusion, we have several sources for Shlichus in general. What about Shlichus L'Dvar Avera? The consensus is no. We have some exceptions to the rule. And according to Shammai HaZaken, perhaps there is a concept of Shlich L'Dvar Avera, but the way Rava points it out here, it doesn't apply by certain cases of Zen and of Zem Eschayiv. Okay, let's move on. Loosely related to the previous sugya, once again on the note of shlichus. Itzmar, Rav Omar Shliach Nasaid. Interesting question. I send a shliach here. Go deliver a get. Go deliver my kiddushin. Right? Can he go ahead and now testify about what happened? I gave her the ring. I gave her the get. According to Rav, yeah. Why not? Devei Rabbi Shila Amri. They disagree. Ain shliach nasaid. You can't wear both hats. Either you're an involved party, you're a shliach. It's almost like you have a conflict of interest. Here you're involved, and now you're going to go and testify about it? You can't do that. And the Gemara explains, my time of Devei Rabbi Shila, why not? Is it because of some sort of technical matter that the Mishaleach did not appoint him as an aid? He just told him to be a shliach. He didn't appoint him. So he's lacking in the appointment and the labeling. Is that an issue? Elamiata. So if that's required, imagine Kiddush Isha b'fnei shnayim. Reuven was Mekadosh and Isha in front of two Eidim. Legitimate Eidim. But lo yamar le'matim Eidai. And he failed to appoint them as Eidim beforehand. Does it work? Of course it works. Hachinam d'lehava Kiddush. You mean it's not going to work? Of course it will. You don't need an appointment. As long as you're there, you watch, you notice, and you can say it over. You're an Eid. So what's the problem with a Shliach serving in an Eidus capacity? Ella rather says the Gemara will explain it to you. Rav Amar Shliach Nasaid. According to Rav, a shliach can now turn around and testify. Alumi kamalimna lemilse. Because if anything, strengthening the power of the aid by using a shliach who's actually involved and has personal, first-hand, knowledge of this experience to come and testify, it's even a better edus. Deveda b'shila, some say it's actually a better shlichus. Whatever it is, it's an enhanced situation. If anything, it makes it better. Deveda b'shila amri, they disagree. Ein shliach nasaid. You know why? Because he's an involved party. The shliach is. Kiven da mamra. We just learned shluchish lal mikemoisei. When I send somebody to do something for me, my representative is representing me. It's like I'm involved. It's like I'm doing it, right? Havali kugufei. So now my shliach, it's almost like he assumes my identity. He's representing me. And just like a person cannot be made, cannot testify in his own activities, you're an egeh beedus, right? So likewise, he's considered an involved party. It's a conflict of interest. and therefore he can't be made. Meisvei b'vakasha on Rab, who says you can. Amar l'shlesh, tzu v'kitru l'yisa isha. So he turns to three people. Please be Mekadosh and Isha for me. Echad Shaliach. So one fellow can serve as a Shaliach. Ushnaim Edim. And the other two can testify. Divere Beisham. Ubesel Oimrim Kulam Shluchim. No, just the opposite. They're all Shluchim. Vein Shlech Nasaid. And once they assume the status of a Shliach, they're labeled as Shluchim. They cannot testify on that matter any longer. Now, Ad Kan Leplig Yelib Shlesha. It seems like the whole. This entire discussion, meaning even according to the Shita that you can use the Shliach as Eid, it's only because we have three people, so we can spare one as a Shliach, and the other two can serve as Eid. That's Shita's Beshame. Aval Bishnayim Dirakoyl, Loy, Loy. But suppose it was only two people that he asked to do the Shlichus, then you don't have enough to go around. You can't split them apart, have some Shliach, some Eid. You need two Eid. So all agree it won't work. That's a Kasha on Rav, who holds that you can turn a Shliach into an Eid. Says the Gemara, who the Amar ki Aitana. Rav was following a different version of this machlek, it's Beshame Besilo. The son, you are Benos Nomer. Beshame Aimim, Shliach Veid Echad. It works with two people as well. So if he appoints a Shliach to bring the ring to his wife, and the other fellow is merely just serving as an aide, it works. Because the shliach can also serve as an aid, so we have two aidim. Ubisil aimim shliach shnei aidim. No, you need a shliach separate from the two aidim because one person cannot serve in both capacities. So basically, we have a shita like Rav. Who's that shita? Beis Shammai. That a shliach can turn around and be an aid. V'Rav ki Beis Shammai. Really, Rav is following Beis Shammai, which isn't typical. We don't pass like Beis Shammai. Eifach says the Gemara. Let's switch around the shitas here. Actually, Beis Shammai is the one that says it doesn't work, and Beis Hillel, that it does. And Rav is following Beis Hillel. Rav Achabre de Rav Masni Ifcha. So actually, there was another version of the Machlekes, Rav and Dvir Rabbi Shila. Rav Amar, Ein Shliach Nasaid. Dvir Rabbi Shila Amri, Shliach Nasaid. What's the Halacha B'Hilchasa? No problem, Shliach can also become an aid. Shliach Nasaid. Amar Rav, Amar Brachman. So continuing on the topic of Shliach Nasaid. Amar L'Shnaim Tzu V'Katru L'Yisa. So he turns to two fellows, please be Mekadosh and Isha for me. Can they testify that it happened? Yep. Heinein Shaluchav, Heinein Edov. They can bring the ring, they can be the Shluchim, and turn around and testify that they actually delivered the ring and she's Mekadosh. The same thing applies everywhere else as well. V'chein be'gerishah, when it comes to divorce. V'chein be'dinim mamonos, when it comes to repaying a loan. Here's $1 million, give it to my creditor. He comes back and he can testify. They can testify that the deliver the money, and that absolves me, and I'm exempt from any further debts, right? So we have the shluchim, who are actually serving in the shliach capacity, turning around and testifying on that matter. Now, why does the Gemara have to list all these examples? The same concept repeats itself by gerushin and kedushin and dini mamonos and tzricha. Each one has an added element of chidush. The ashminim v'kedushin, had we only discussed this concept by kedushin, shum de lemeisra kasi. There, I have no reason to question their account of the facts that she was Mekodesh, because they have no reason, they have no vested interest to lie, because when they come and testify that she was Mekodesh, they make her usher. They can't turn around and marry her. She's now married to this fellow. Right? So they have no reason to lie. They have no interest in lying. So, Mishun L'Meisr Ka'asi, so of course, we trust him, Aval Gershon, but when it comes to two shluchim who were meant to deliver the get, and they come back and say, we delivered again, she's now Megureshes, perhaps they have an agenda. It never happened, but perhaps they're lying. Perhaps one of these fellows decided to marry her, so that's why he's testifying that she's Megureshes. V'yashmin and Gershon, now, had we only discussed Gershon, that we trust these fellows, because after all, there are two people here, and she can't marry two people, so ultimately, there's no reason for each one of them to lie, because she's not a suitable match in any case, because we have two people here. Ava Maimon, when it comes to repaying the loan, Ema, maybe they're just drumming up the story. Ema, Hani, Miflag, Pli, they're just dividing up the money amongst themselves. They never delivered it to the creditor. Tzrichi, that's why he mentions it in all three cases. They're considered full-fledged and reliable witnesses. Now we have a question on this halach. How could we trust the Edim slash messengers, delivery men, when it comes to money. They do have a vested interest in testifying that it was delivered. Otherwise, you'll ask them the money back. Well, speaking that the creditor denies having received the money, obviously, otherwise there's no issue, right? So they come back and say, we delivered the money to the bank, and the bank denies it. Of course, they want to testify. Of course, they're vouching for the fact that they delivered it, because otherwise they're accountable for it. Micah Sabar, so Rav Nachman, who told us that it applies even by dinei mamon, by monetary issues, which shita is he following? Ikos Sabar, if he holds that hamal v'chaver be'edim, when I lend my friend money in front of two witnesses, such as, let's say, this case where he gave the shluchim the money to deliver to the bank in front of edim, tzorach l'par be'edim, so the fellow has to return the money with edim, meaning the fact that you did it with in the presence of edim indicates that you don't really we're not working on trust. We need verification, legal verification. And if you should one day turn around and claim that you returned it to me, we're speaking of a regular malvan leiva, right? You lent me money in front of edim. I have to return in front of edim. I can never claim that I returned it to in a dark alleyway. It has to be done in front of edim. So here, if the shluchim received this money en route to the bank and it was done in front of edim, so hani noigim edusnino. So now that there's a whole denial system going on, the bank, denies having received the money, and now the shluchim slash edim are coming and testifying that they delivered it. They're negeh be'edus. They have a vested interest in testifying that they delivered it. Otherwise, the amri le parane, because if there'll be denial, meaning if the amri le parane, because if they will not, we'll say they didn't pay it up to the bank. Basically, what we're saying is we don't have verification. There's no verification that they paid it up. Amar lu paruni. So unless they come and testify that they paid it back, he's going to request the money back from these edim. So why should we trust them? They're negeh be'edus. They have an agenda. They have a vested interest in clearing their name. Ela lo'elam kasavar hamavas chaver be'edim ein zorach l'per be'edim. So Rav Nachman works with the other shita, that although perhaps he handed the money to these messengers in presence of edim, they don't have to necessarily return in front of edim. So they always have a migul. Migul means they could, since they could have said something better and become absolved and be potter, so they're trusted when they say that they delivered the money as well. Umigul, since they don't have to verify that they returned the money to this fellow, umigul diyachli lemeimar hadrina leleiva. Just as they could have said, very easily they could have lied. If they were lying, they could have simply said, look, we gave you back the money. We did it privately, and we don't need to aid them for that. So, since they could be saying that as well, Yechaydun lemeima, parane lemalva, likewise, for the same money, so to speak, they could also testify that they gave the money to the bank, to the malva, and we believe them. Basically, there's no reason they should want to lie and say they gave it to the malva when they really didn't. Because if they're willing to lie, they could have just easily said, we gave you back the money, Mr. Leiva, and their pater. So that's why we believe them when they are made that they paid back the loan to the malva. But, says the Gemara, nowadays this won't work. But now that the Rabbanon introduced a concept called Shvuas Heses. Heses means toss, to throw on him. So min ha-Torah, a person will only swear when he's a moida b'miktsas, when he expresses partial admission in response to a monetary claim. But if he's in total denial, a person wouldn't do that, right? A person wouldn't have the guts, wouldn't have the face to totally deny his creditor. At least that's the way it used to be. So, min ha-Torah, you're not going to swear if you totally deny. But mid rabbanon, even by a kofer ha-koil, total denier, a shvua is in place. You have to back up your words with an oath. So the shluchim that were sent with this money, if they should claim that in fact they're, totally innocent, they would have to make a shvua. So we can no longer take their word for it, because they're basically trying to absolve themselves of that shvua, trying to sidestep the shvua. So I have a vested interest in testifying, so we can't believe them. What's left? What do we do? We have to run a couple of shvois to resolve this matter. So again, we have Reuven, who allegedly sent this $1 million with Shimon and Levi over to Yehuda. Yehuda denies receiving. Shimon and Levi testify that they delivered it. Reuven says, look, either produce proof or give me back the money. Says, well, what happens now? Shimon and Levi, the Edom, will swear that they delivered the money to Yehuda. Now, Yehuda will deny it, right? And he'll swear that he never received the money. And the poor Levi, Reuven, will have to pay again. Parley, Levi Lamava, will have to repay his loan. Okay, so conclusion. We learned about Shlichus. Ein Shlich L'Dvar Avir. Shlich Nasa. Aid. We have some examples. Kedushin, Gerushin, Dinei Mamonos. Each one has a Chiddush. But when it comes to Dinei Mamonos, once Shvuos Hesed was introduced into the scene, the Shluchim / Edim can't have Ne'amanus without a Shavua. The Mishnah continues. Just like one can be Mekadosh Isha for himself, he can Mekadosh an Isha for his young daughter. Ha'ish Mekadosh is Bitoy Tanan Hasam. Nara Muras. We have a Nara who's past 12 years old and she's engaged. Now it's time for divorce. Hiva Via Mekabel Neskita. Well, I have a choice. Either she herself or her father can receive, can accept the get. Amar Rav Yehuda, no. You can't have two drivers. You can't have two people competing for the same status. Two hands in the pudding. It's either or. Ella via mekabel eskita. Rather, it's only the father, but she's not empowered to accept her own get at this early stage in life. And the Brisa continues. If she's not capable of looking after her document, basically she's not at the point where she understands what's going on. So basically, you can't make a gerushin with such an isha because she'll just come back. She'll just return to the husband. So in any case, ein yichol lizgarish, gerushin is not applicable in this case. Okay, so that's a Mishnah Maseches Gittin. Who has the authority to be involved in her gerushin? Tanakama says her or her father. Rabbi Yehuda says her father only. Amar Reish Lakish. What happens to kiddushin? K'machlokes l'gerushin, kach machlokes l'kiddushin. The same machlokes applies by kiddushin as well. Regarding accepting her ring, accepting the kesef. Tanakama says father or herself. She's a nar, she's an adult, she can do that. Rabbi Yehuda says only the father. That's Reish Lakish's approach. For Rabbi Yechon Amar, no. The machlokes only applies by gerushin, but not by kiddushin. Achloikas legerushin, avle kiddushin. But here now a sugya. Divrei akol avi avlohi. All agree it's only the father and not her. Why? Omar Rabbi Yisrael Chanina. My time with Rabbi Yechonon. Ali with the Rabban. Why does Rabbi Yechonon say that even the Rabban agree by kiddushin to Rabbi Yehuda that it's only the father? Answer is by gerushin when she's getting divorced, and she's coming back to her father's home. The Machnes is Atzmalur Shusavia, when she's returning to her father's domain. In that case, father is fully fine, fully agreeable that she's going to accept her get. Therefore, Bein He, Ubein Avia, herself, her father, whatever it is, it's a Gerushin. As opposed to Kiddushin, where she's leaving her father's Rishus, the Mafkas Atzmalur Shusavia, and here we say, father is not agreeable with her accepting her kiddushin. He wants to be on top. He wants to be in charge. Avia v'lahi, therefore only father can do it, and not the Nara herself, because she's still under his jurisdiction, and under his control. And we'll continue with the Hashem in the next year. So bottom line is, Shlichos, we have a mucker from Korban Pesach, we have Truma, we have Gerushin, but that's only by a non-Avera activity. Ein Shlich L'Dvar Avera, Divrei HaRav, Divrei HaTalmud, Divrei Mishayim. And of course we listen to the Rav, and you can't blame the Mishaleach. You should have listened to Hashem. Shami HaZokin seems to disagree. We're not sure exactly to what extent, whether it's specific to Dini Shemayim, whether it's Dafka by Ritzicha, or in fact, every Shlich L'Dvar Avera is a legal Shlich. But we have some exceptions. In a case where the shliach has the hano, you can't blame that on the mishaleach. But a machlekes regarding a shliach, whether or not he can serve as an aid, machlekes, and we paskind yes, it applies to kiddushin, gerushin, dinei mamonos, as we discussed. And we have a story of a nara, and we have the Mishnah Gittin when it comes to receiving a get. Tanakama says whether it's the isha or her father, it works. Rabita says only the father. Regarding kiddushin, in a similar situation of a nara, Rabbi Yechon, Reish Lakish says, same machlekes that we have by Gittin, Do we have a kedushin? Rabbi Yochanan says no. When it comes to kedushin, all agree. Only the father's in charge, who look after her kedushin, but she herself doesn't have that independent ability to accept her kedushin. All the best to you, psuras tevas, hatzlacha rabba, and chag kasher v'sameach.